Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Michael Reagan is a very fine guy. He does a nationally syndicated radio show, and he's also the son of President Reagan. And he was also Maureen Reagan's brother. And Michael was back to work today, and he walked by our office, and he said, wow, I just had a very interesting conversation with a member of, well, let's just say, a sales department. I won't say which one. And I said, really, what? He said, well, I walked in there, and one of the salespeople there, one of the saleswomen and account executives said, hey, Michael, yeah, how's your sister? And he says, well, she's dead. And the woman responded, oh, yeah? When'd that happen? So I think when you are looking to be sensitive, I think we can all probably take a great lesson from that individual. It's a nice, friendly, smooth, kind of a weekend, over-the-back-fence conversational way. Oh, your old man's dead? Gee, I didn't know. Oh, your sister died? Really? When'd that happen? I must have missed that. I was out of the car. Oh, yeah? Okay. So maybe when his father dies, it'll be, hey, Mike, how's your dad? Well, you know, he died last week from Alzheimer's. He says, oh, well, I missed that. I was skiing in Aspen. Yeah, I'm sure you probably did. See, if you work in the sales department for a communications company, and maybe I'm overstepping my bounds here, should you read the newspaper, or is that not necessary? I just wanted to clear that one up. All right, our number here, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Now, Connie Chung has, yes, I said Connie Chung, she has landed an interview with Gary Condit. This is going to be awesome. Because I think it's going to be cool. I think it's going to be freewheeling, wide-ranging. I think that it'll be hard-hitting. I think maybe we'll get some juice. I don't know. It's, you know, I said to Mike, who does she work for now? I hadn't heard her name in years. When was the last time you heard Connie Chung's name? Hey, look at, far be it from me. I'm not going to comment, man. I know how tough this business is. I was out of circulation for so long, I didn't know where I went. So I know how difficult it is in a highly competitive broadcast field. And Connie Chung, for whatever reason, she just went like no place, man. Now, I remember when Connie Chung was in Los Angeles. She did local news here on Channel 2. Remember that? Well, Mike, you don't remember. This is how long it's been since Connie Chung was on the air. Mike was sucking his thumb. He would, like, how old were you, 4? That's how long it's been since she was here. And I don't know how old he was. But anyway, you know, she was like on the news, and she'd come on every night. I'm Connie Chung, and here's the deal, and here's where it is. She'd lay it out, and the next thing I know, she got the big network push. She's upstairs. She's working at CBS, corporate, boom. And, you know, whatever. It didn't really set him on fire. They went to NBC, and that's it. That's the last I heard about her. Now Gary Condit says he's going to give her an interview. This is the first thing I heard from Connie Chung since her and Maury were trying to have that kid. Remember that? Did they ever have the kid? And nobody knows. I mean, anyway, she's going to be interviewing Gary Condit. Now, you know how these things go, so let me just tell you. If it doesn't turn out, if he doesn't throw himself on the carpet with tears and blood streaming from his eyes, grasping Connie's ankles, hugging her legs, his shoulders heaving with sobs, and says the words, yes, I killed her, her body is in a marshy area just outside of Baltimore. If he doesn't do that, you're not going to be completely depressed, I hope, because ain't going to happen, I don't think. Maybe it will. But it's still going to be cool. I can't wait to see it. Who's the guy that interviewed O.J. Simpson on BET? Well, I don't know, because it wasn't all that great, right? Didn't they have some prescription as to what, proscription, I should say, as to what questions would be asked? Now, what was the other big interview? Remember the one that What's-His-Ass did, that Roy Firestone did? Who was he talking with, Mike? Some sports dude? Barbara Walters and Monica Lewinsky. That was nothing, right? Oh, I know what it was. He was talking to Pete Rose, I thought, or something. I forget. But anyway, these cats, the only reason why they're going to be on there is because they know they're not going to hit them with anything big time, right? It's the only reason why they agree to go on these interview shows. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'd love to go on the Larry King show and have him rip me a new ass. Yes, thank you. Yes, I would, okay? Which one of you guys would like to have me on your show so you can embarrass me and make me say I butchered her up with a carving knife, shoved her into about 5 different hefty bags, stuck her in the trunk of a car, rolled it into a marsh, just like Norman Bates, went back into the office, started eating the peanuts, and I epoxied up the hole that I had behind the painting so that nobody would know that I was sitting there doing the girk jerk while she was taking a shower. Thank you, Larry. Man. Yeah, that's it. So this cat's going to be on, and we'll hear the whole thing. And everybody's got all these questions about why didn't Gary Condit say this, or didn't he say that, and why didn't he come out and say this, why didn't he come out and say that? Maybe it's none of our business. What do you think of that one? How come Gary Condit, Phil, didn't come out and just say whether he killed her or not? Maybe he didn't feel like it. Hey, I got a great idea for the D.C. cops. Go out and do your job. Go out and find the guy that killed the girl and stop fooling around with this guy Condit. You got that? What do I know about it? You're right. I don't know anything about it. Am I a cop? No, I am not a cop. Do I have a right to tell you how to do your job? Yeah, unfortunately I do, because, you know, that whole taxpayer thing. I know, it's boring. You've heard it a million times. Here's a quarter change on my taxes. I get it. But I still get to say it, see, because that's my job. I get to be stupid. I get to be one of the howling masses. You guys go out and start making a case out of this thing and find who did this crime, who took this woman and killed her, and lay off of this Condit thing because that's a dead end and you know it. The only reason why you guys want to keep that thing alive, which of course you haven't, is because you want to keep public interest in the case alive, which of course you haven't done that either. So just do what millions and millions of cops all over America are doing. They're going about their jobs quietly. They're trying to find out who did what to who on any given day. What's this day? Gary Condit will finally break his silence in an interview with ABC News' Connie Chung on Thursday night. Condit has agreed to appear on ABC News' Primetime Thursday when he will speak for the first time since intern Chandra Levy vanished from Washington. The congressman has fully responded to all questions put to him by law enforcement authorities trying to find Ms. Levy, read a statement released by the congressman's press aides. He can now address in a public forum the issues that have been raised over the past 3 months. The 24-year-old Levy, who hailed from Condit's district, had just completed an internship at the Federal Bureau of Prisons where she when she vanished. She says, has anybody looked into that connection? Internship, prisons? Since then, police, FBI agents, and a team of private investigators, blah, 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 blah. But after dozens of interviews and massive searches of Washington parks, police say they have few clues and no suspects. So they search parks. Though investigators have repeatedly said the married Condit 53 is not a suspect, they say he acknowledged only after repeated questioning having had sexual relationship with Levy. FBI forensic experts searched his thing, turned up nothing, blah, 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 just some rubber women, the kind that you blow up. Security again, Condit International, stacks of penthouse playboys and hustlers and blue boys. Well, Condit, an admitted homosexual, yada, yada, yada. Let's see what else is in here. Condit's comeback strategy was outlined Sunday. Condit, who loves to give it to young boys in parks after dark. Okay, Ross told ABC News, George Stephanopoulos, who's also one of Condit's lovers, will first present his side of the story. This captivated America in a letter to constituents. When I was blah, 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 blah. There it is. Stephanopoulos, who had just had a deep sexual relationship with Condit, denied any. Okay, but the comeback effort will not succeed, Ross acknowledged. Condit, who likes to take it in the ass with, okay, then I'm kidding about that part. They're going to have to be completely satisfied that Gary Condit had nothing to do with the disappearance of that girl. He was with an underage minor boy at the time. They're going to have to be completely satisfied. That's got to get it done. You've got to get through all of that. Connie Chung said she would ask Condit his relationship to Chandra Levy, but would avoid any questions about Condit's flagrant homosexuality. Okay. All right. Well, that's all there is. I don't know. There's nothing. It says nothing. There's nothing here. Once again, the news. Once again, ABC can't dig up squat. Crap. 1-800-449-8686. Every day, we hope for that one phone call that will be, as the Buddhists call it, a satori, an illumination. That one good, meaningful call. Doesn't necessarily have to be funny. Doesn't have to necessarily have to be anything. We'll know it when we get it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
PhilHendryShow.com is the official website of The Phil Hendry Show. You can get all the information you'd like about our show there. And it's just a great site, and Bill Kiesling's our webmaster. Bill, is, by the way, is an admitted heroin user, but he still gets the job done, and that's what I like about him. He still gets our great website up and running each and every day, even though he is doing bag after bag after bag of good, clean, high-grade horse. Now, today's Phil Hendry Polls America question, which top news anchor looks most like he or she will snap someday and commit suicide on air? That's today's Phil Hendry Polls America question, which top news anchor looks most like he or she will snap someday and commit suicide on air? The options are Wolf Blitzer, Dan Rather, Lou Dobbs, Ted Koppel, Britt Hume, Shepard Smith, or Paula Zahn. I thought Paula Zahn was an interesting choice because she's with the teeth and the big smile and every, like, everything's just great, you know, even though she was on the CBS Morning News, which couldn't have been much fun. She had to sit there with Mark McEwen every morning. That's, you know, that's the most insincere smile that has ever been slapped on some guy's kisser since you met a head waiter. And there she is, any head waiter, if you'll pardon the expression head. So there she was every morning, and I figure she's ready to just go ahead and take out the whole studio. Anyway, that was our question. And of those people voting, a whopping 40% say Dan Rather. Now, that name was put on the poll. I figured, well, yeah, he's tense looking, and everybody, I thought there'd be a little bit more imagination. Look at Lou Dobbs, for instance, that guy on Moneyline. That guy looks like he's ready to just go. Wolf Blitzer, don't. He comes on every day. Hi, I'm Wolf Blitzer. Oh, man. With the beard and doesn't he look... He's desperately trying to fill Bernard Shaw's shoes. I think Wolf Blitzer's fantastic, by the way. Fantastic. I love his show.
But they've got him out there in the middle of the thing, and
he's not even in a studio anymore. They got him sitting in a park.
And I'm Wolf Blitzer reports. Well, I don't know. Jesus, there's no news, okay?
And then there's Ted Koppel. Yeah, he's too cool looking, but some people may see that very cool demeanor and mistake it for edgy, almost borderline sociopathy. Then there's Britt Hume. I just threw him in for what no good reason. One of the reasons, by the way, that Wolf Blitzer does his show from a park is they won't let him in the building at CNN. He's just, I'm Wolf Blitzer. I'm out in a blizzard. They got him up on the porch, you know. Do you see that? They got him, like, out on a balcony at the Watergate Hotel, anywhere, but they don't let him in here. I don't give a crap where he does his news tonight. Come on, you guys. You're not doing it in here. That's all I said. Why not? Because you look like you're going to kill somebody. That's why.
Well, it's freaking freezing out here, and I can't keep doing the news in the street.
I don't know. Do whatever you want to do. You ain't coming in here.
Why'd you hire me to do the news? You want to let me in?
Because you're a good newsman. The problem is, you're wrapped so tight, you look like you're going to murder somebody. You and Rather, do your news outside. You're not getting in.
God damn it, anyone.
Yeah, that's right. So Wolf has got to do his news out in the street someplace, walking up and down at a bus stop. I'm Wolf Blitzer. People looking at him, what the hell are you doing? Is there a camera around here? Is the guy reading from a teleprompter? So Dan Rather, 40%. In second place with 13%. Dan Rather, the over, he's running away with this thing. This is a bad poll. We did this bad. Anytime it's a runaway, you did it bad. You know what I'm saying? Anytime a poll ain't looking good, you're doing it bad. Anytime you can't get your poll up, you know what I'm saying. So anyway, Dan Rather, 40%. Next at 13 is Wolf Blitzer. Next at 12% is Ted Koppel. And then at 11%, Shepard Smith. And I know nothing about this guy, but I went on the Fox News website. I took one look at his kisser. Man, he looked like he's that close to just walking into a mall. You know, holding up a cross of Christ or something, and just out of the knapsack it comes. Just out of a gunny sack, here it is. Shining, blue steel. And then Paula Zahn wiping up the rear. Excuse me, Paula. 7%. Now, tomorrow's poll is going to be Might As Well Be Gay, and then you have a list of names. And one of the reasons why we did that is there are a number of celebrities. How do I put this? In other words, they're straight, but they just might as well go ahead and say they're gay because we're all thinking it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, Sam Rubin on Channel 5. I was stunned when I heard he had a kid. I'm kidding around, Sam. Well, not really. I mean, well, you know what I'm saying. Brad Pitt. Doesn't it wouldn't make any difference, would it? Women love him. Women love George Michael. What the hell difference does it make? Oh, but I'm on the chicks there, Rock Hudson. You know, they love Rock Hudson. Brad Pitt. If he comes out tomorrow and he said I'm gay, it would not stun me. You know who else? Anthony Hopkins. Just pull the mask off, Sir Tony.
Hello, Clarice.
No straight guy can go into that whole thing. The other guy, Jeff Probst from Survivor. Doesn't he have that? Isn't there something pretty about him? And then finally, Little Romeo. I think there's something, I'm kidding. Something real queer about him, man. So that'll be tomorrow's, unless anybody else has any better ideas of who we ought to put on that poll. 1-800-449-8686. That'll be our poll tomorrow. But if you're checking out the Phil Hendry website, there's a lot of different places you can go, including our South of the Border diary. And we have a new installment for today, August the 13th. Yesterday's diary installment, which again was a summation, if you will, of our trip to Mexico, is also online there. And we also have a summary. The one that I think is in today has a summary of the Baja barbecue. But yesterday's is pretty nice. Maria and I wheeled into LAX, and we shuttled to Alaska Air for a whirlwind vacation in Cabo. I immediately get bugged by all the coach passengers wandering into first class to use the John, so I order a double vodka to numb the hell I'm in over this. I'm currently reading Viz, the great British humor magazine, and they have a contest. Send in pictures of celebrities that look like they're being taken up the arse. The picture they have in this month's issue leaves me strangling. I have to order another double vodka. We land at beautiful Cabo and are spirited away by Jose or Juan or Desi or some cat like that to the Hotel Twin Dolphin. We arrive at a picturesque Sea of Cortez side bungalow-strewn resort. The desert heat of the lower Baja Peninsula combined with the swaying palms and the agave cactus has me in vacation mode. I put on my board shorts, slap on 45 block, bring my copy of Viz and Nicholas and Alexandra, Their Love Wrecked an Empire, grab my wife and hike up the narrow pathway to the pool. The iguanas and such scamper from our approach, and soon we're swimming up to the thatched hut-style bar. I order a few more margaritas. We then engage two men in conversation, who we are sure are gay. This, of course, has become our calling in life, to befriend gay men on vacation who otherwise look a bit lonely. We generally wind up having dinner or the like. These two guys look the part, one older, graying, but the hair fashionably spiked, sporting a black Speedo and mirrored shades. The younger one is bleached, peroxide, blonde, mirrored shades, looks a bit annoyed. As we talk to these guys, it comes out that they're father and son, and that the younger one is the father of two daughters, recently divorced. Our misconception sends me swimming to the bar for another Twin Dolphin margarita and some time alone to ponder, who will we have dinner with? There don't seem to be any gay people around here. Thank you, Phil Hendry. Tomorrow's installment, really boring, dumb, lame Americans. So check out our website for our Mexico Diary installment. That's philhendryshow.com. And you can also order our CD online. Or you can order it by calling the number 877-616-7445. We're playing this music for all of you who decided to name your kids things like, oh, Alan, Alec, Alfred, Alistair, or some of those Irish names like Aideen and Afric. How about that for an Irish name, Afric? How about Africa? Aileen and Anya. Now, that's a great name for a woman, isn't it? Anya? Or breeder? Get out of here with that, okay? That's some sick, twisted, messed up Irish joke. I know the mix. Believe me, I'm one of them. And they come up with a name like Anya. The joke's on you, Yank. Hey, name your kid Anya. Yeah, yeah, especially your daughter. And then name your son all over you. And these are names that are just straight out of that hole. I'm telling you, personally, I think it's just one step this side of Nazis. These cats that play the mandolin and they want to go to all the Renaissance festivals and they're like dressing up like the King and Queen of England. Bunch of freaking Nazis. Okay, it's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Good evening. I'm Larry King. Tonight, Connie Chung scores the interview with Gary Condit. What a whore. In other news...
Anyway, that's the NBC theme, man. I don't know. We ain't got no Larry King theme and the Fox News theme, but that's the NBC one. That's, you know, the music is fantastic. Is that, what is that, the London Philharmonic? John Williams does the NBC news theme. And he closes out his concerts with this? Is that how, in other words, what you're telling me is that's how desperate we are in the world of classical music? The NBC news theme is now being performed. You know, it used to be like, whatever the hell, Mozart's 8th and, you know, Beethoven's 2nd and Rachmaninoff's 9th and some other guy, Roger Maris's 61st, something. And they have these classics now, and Williams is up there. I don't know what the hell else to play. What do you want me to do? We ran out of stuff. Well, play something, you idiot. All right, here it is, the NBC News theme for God. Great. And then after that, you know the one, the theme from Charmin? Yeah, we'll run with that. I got the Sanford and Son theme, and then we're out. Okay. That's how thin John Williams' repertoire is. Repertoire. Pardon me, I didn't mean to say that word. It's a filthy word, repertoire. Michael Jordan, by the way, just turned 108 today, and we're still, you know, he's teasing us as to whether he's going to come back and play in the NBA. He turned 108, and he has a tube coming out of his ass, and... He's on solid food, I think. He is able to eliminate by way of a hose out of the side of his body. And he's teasing all of us NBA fans. We are just so thrilled. Is he coming back? Is he not? This is what's being rapped about all over sports radio. Gosh, golly, what's going to happen? Michael Jordan, they had him on TV the other day. All of his hair has fallen out from the chemo. And is that a new nose, like a prosthetic thing he's got? Michael Jordan, as you know, has been suffering for the last three seasons from leprosy, but he may come back in the NBA, and I think that's great. By the way, who would you rather play against, a cat with AIDS or a dude with leprosy? Hey, I don't know about anybody. Huh? Yeah, the dude with leprosy, you just smoke that guy. The cat with AIDS can still do it to you, you know. But here's the thing, and I don't want to make light of AIDS, but just, why not? I don't have it, so, yeah. You know, I don't want to say anything, but, you know, they say AIDS, the scourge of a century, the scourge of a millennium. AIDS. Has there ever been a disease more revived? Leprosy sucked. Are you ready for leprosy? Come on. They finally got a handle on that. Jesus. Your nose. Come on, man. Be honest with me. Your freaking nose falls off. Dude, that there's just no way. There's not a way in hell. I don't know, AIDS. AIDS is horrible. You're absolutely right. AIDS is horrible. But we got to get this leprosy thing under control, man. And what about that bubonic plague? Bubonic plague was the rats off the ships. I read a whole history. I don't know about Black Death. I know all about it because I read the whole, because I'm a history freak. I read the whole thing of the 14th century. Yeah, it was a bad bacterial infection and everything. But AIDS is worse in terms of what it does to people. But my vote goes for leprosy. In other words, if they were neck and neck as to what disease we got to cure first, I'd be in, let you know, you guys, could you just sit down for a minute? No, AIDS is killing people. AIDS is killing. My freaking nose is gonna drop off, man. You may be dying, but my leg, fingers, nose, this is a hell of a way to go. I say the money goes to leprosy cure. I don't give a crap what any of you guys say. No, AIDS in a minute. Ah, bull crap. God, all those stories from biblical time. Remember when we were kids, you know, and you go to school, they read you the Bible and all that. I remember as a kid, I think, holy Jesus, what is this disease? Well, it's leprosy. Well, what does it do? Well, your skin rots off, your ears drop off, your nose. What the hell are you talking about? What are you pointing to yourself for, Craig? You got it? And your thing falls off? And the other thing, and here's the thing about leprosy. If you, and this is what they told us when we were kids, and I believe it, and I think it's true. If you so much as touched a dude with it. See, AIDS, you have to at least, there's the transmission of blood and semen, and yes, there's a sexual, you have to really get to know somebody pretty good to get AIDS from them. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I'm not talking about on any level in terms of emotion or personality, but the physical contact that is required is fairly significant, pretty much a commitment, and certainly involved. But leprosy, you brush past the guy in an elevator, your nose falls off. Your nose falls off. Yes, it was a disease in biblical times.
What did it do?
Made the nose fall off.
Well, how did you get it?
Even if you just touched a guy, even breathed the air, came within the same city limits, you know?
What, are you putting me on?
No, I'm not. What do you mean? You're only 9. You have to believe us.
Holy God! Have they cured this?
No, they have leprosy colonies around.
Well, where do they have one?
Hawaii.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going there this summer with my parents.
Oh, great. Maybe you'll go and check it out.
No, thank you.
What about that leprosy colony they got in Molokai? They're still in existence. And, you know, Molokai is one of the islands, one of the Hawaiian islands, that they really got a big building boom going right now. I mean, it is smoking. They got hotels going up. I said to Maria, I go, you know, I'm sorry. I'll go to Molokai. I don't care. I mean, it sounds very beautiful. I ain't going down to the leprosy colony. I don't give a crap. Craig's telling me, what, you visited a leper colony in the Philippines? What for? For kicks? What the hell did you go down there for? Just to rap with them? I shouldn't be so cruel. It's just, you can't get it any... What do you mean you can't get it? Oh, it becomes dry leprosy, you can't get it? Well, in any event, I mean, as the world progresses, it's, you know, there's all kinds of horrific diseases that have visited. Those are the top two, AIDS and leprosy. And again, if I was in Washington, I'd say, I got to get this leprosy thing out of control. What are you talking about? Are you anti-gay? No, I'm not anti-gay. Believe me, I'm not anti-gay. I want everybody to be, but we got to get the leprosy thing. Well, why? The freaking ears and the thing falls. Get out of here, will you? Look at me. I came before you here. What happened to your hand? What happened? It fell off on my way in. That's what happened to my hand.
Well, it seems you're being a little selfish, Mr. Henry, wanting money for you.
Well, yeah, I'm a little bit selfish. I mean, by the time I walk out of here, my head's going to be left. That's it. Going to stick me on a pallet board here with wheels.
Mike says that leper colony you visited was one of the swankier parts of the Philippines, by the way. So go on over there and visit real soon. What am I doing? A run in my mouth here? We're waiting for that one big phone call. I guess not. We're gonna really change the rules of the game around here so we can involve people more with their phone calls. Get a lot of people calling, but what we don't want, and perhaps we've encouraged a little bit too much of it, is the sort of the same-o kind of butt-kissing that goes on. But it feels good. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. So Mike just tells me, John Carpenter, who is the phenomenal director of, you know, Halloween, all these great flicks, was in and watched our show 6 months ago or something with his wife Sandy. And so then she calls later, Sandy calls, and invites us to a cast and crew screening of Ghosts of Mars. And Schaefer doesn't tell me anything about it because he says I was busy that night. Did you bother to call me up and say, do you want to cancel your plans, Henry? Did you bother to call me and say, Phil, would you like, don't you know the faux pas, the social blunder that I made when Spike Jones called to invite us to that Being John Malkovich and I'd never heard of him, so I said, bug off, which I did. Nice move, Phil, huh? I got Spike Jones, the guy that made that whatever the hell. His secretary calls, I'll never forget, she says, and I'm not trying to drop names here, I just want you to show you when Phil Henry gets the odd opportunity to actually mix and mingle with a couple of the heavies, how I butcher it 6 ways to sunset, how I carve it up and leave it on the side of the road, bleeding and dying, how I take every opportunity to advance myself in this town and just stick a knife in it and gut it from stem to stern, throw it into the ocean and let the freaking sharks chum for it. That's my career. Chum. Anyway... who's the guy? Spike Jones. So his secretary calls,
hi, Mr. Henry?
Yes.
My name is so-and-so. I'm calling for Mr. Spike Jones. He's inviting you to a screening of Being John Malkovich.
I said, oh, yeah?
You know, I don't know. My wife, I think there's a thing that I gotta...
Oh, really? Well, are you that much of an asshole?
What's that?
Oh, nothing. Okay.
I don't know. I thought it was Spike Lee.
Huh?
I gotta wash my hair or something. She's like,
well, okay, Jesus, if you don't know who he is, it's gonna be a really great movie.
Bug off. I mean,
what did you say?
Nothing. I said, I can't do it. I gotta babysit kids. But thank you. Would you please thank Mr. Lee? I mean, Jones or whatever the hell.
Okay, bye.
Well, I thought it was, at first I thought it was Spike Lee, which I would have run to it. But Spike Jones, I had not heard of the guy, and honest to God, I had to do something that night. I don't know what it was. Going to the thing. And I come out, this freaking movie comes out. It's a smash hit. The guy's like all the rage. And we blew that one out of the water, okay? So then John Carpenter comes in here, and we get invited to a screening of Ghosts of Mars. And Schaefer don't even tell me about it. And I butcher that 16 Ways to Sunset. My life, my career, love lies bleeding. Yeah, have you heard the phrase? You know what I'm talking about? Love lies bleeding. We could have been hanging with Ice Cube, Natasha Henstridge, Jason Statham, Clea DuVall, Pam Grier, Joanna Cassidy. Joanna Cassidy? I'm hot for her. I know she's 50-something. What's that got to do with anything? I happen to be in my 40s, so what? She's gorgeous. And you're telling me you didn't tell me about the whole thing because we didn't know what I had to do? You filth. Sorry, Mr. Carpenter. If you'd invite us to another cast and crew screening or a party or something, I swear I'd make it up to you. Would you please? Huh? And what's the other thing you butchered? When Robert De Niro wanted us to come to his house, he don't tell me. Oh, you know, who's this? Bobby De Niro. Well, you know what? He can't go because he's busy. He's taking care of his kids. He's scrubbing the scum off the bottom of his electric boat out there in Westlake. Screw you, Mr. De Niro. Well, okay. Thank you. That's my life. Who else? Do we ever get any other big... And then, of course, when June Lockhart came and Mike says, well, this is June Lockhart. I said, I never heard of you. Make her sit in the back. And that was just... Some very nice people have actually called our show occasionally to want to come in and watch it. And as much as I don't like people coming in to watch the show, we've had the opportunity to have in our very studios here, sitting just across the glass from us, some of the all-time greats, at least in my mind. We've had, of course, as you know, great actors like Gary Oldman. We had Harry Shearer coming in here with George Schlader, the guy from Laugh-In. We had whoever. I can't remember. Some of the greats. June Lockhart, Lassie, Timmy, all of them. Man. Hey, Angelina Jolie is to be the United Nations' new refugee ambassador. Angelina Jolie will be the refugee ambassador from the United Nations. I think all of us who didn't get out of high school are encouraged by this, and I know that we're going to all wish her the very, very best. Angelina Jolie, the United Nations' refugee ambassador. I know when I think of, for instance, a long line of people, Cambodians, let's say, just kind of dust-covered with mule carts and oxen being pulled behind them and, you know, sampans and the freaking, you know, bodies laying by the side of the road. I think of Angelina Jolie as the perfect person to talk to those people. You know what I would really like to see? Just get somebody with a high school education, some credentials. Have you had it with the celebrity Holt? Just get out of here. Go make a movie. Look, we got some serious problems, all right? Party, enough. Quit screwing around. The world needs help. Quit screwing around, putting Angelina Jolie, having a hell of, and it's not her. It's just get out of here with the celebrity thing. Stop it already. Quit it. Every now and again, you can make one president. Other than that, just go do a movie. UN refugee ambassador, that's got to be somebody went to a cocktail party. Oh, I'm your biggest fan. Tomb Raider? Oh, yeah. And, you know, look, I got a gig for you. That must have been it. It had to have been it. Maybe she's involved. Maybe she's very much involved. And I realize that, look, believe me, I know the symbiotic relationship between celebrity and fundraising for charities. And people are a little bit more prone to be interested in the charity once it's given some notoriety by the celebrity involved, all right? But isn't there anybody, you know, can't they? Screw it. I think it's a good idea. think it's fantastic. Angelina Jolie and the refugee. I didn't even know we had a refugee problem until they brought it to my attention with Angelina Jolie. What refugee problem? For what country? I thought everybody's happy just sitting on their ass where they are. Maybe stay put, okay? Rocking down a road with a babushka on, with a little oxen cart and all your crap piled in the back in front of the Blitzkrieg. Is that what that is? People pouring out of one country into the next one, man. There's warfare. This, you know, they're advancing the fifth column. We need Angelina Jolie. I read the review on my favorite site, JigsawLounge.com, of Tomb Raider. And this guy's fantastic. You got to read this guy's name. It's Neil Young, JigsawLounge.com, which is the preeminent, premier movie review site. I love this guy's stuff. Read him. In fact, it's one of Phil's featured links on PhilHenryShow.com, along with the Canadian Football League and Remember the ABA. But this guy ripped that Tomb Raider an ass from one end to the next. And I never even saw the thing, but I'll tell you this much. It kept my kids from bugging me. They didn't want to go see it. They're bugging me about Final Fantasy V. Which, you know, my little, the youngest boy today is going, you know they get midgets to do that? Yeah, because the midgets, they fit the sensors a lot better. They can do all these moves. Fantastic. And then I found the, did you send me that? Or Bill Kiesling? There's a fantastic report from the British Journal of Medicism, Mysticism, and no, the British Journal of Medicine, and in it, they finally, the smoking gun on how video games will butcher your kids' ability to learn, your kids' ability to retain information. Finally, the smoking gun, video games will just kill your kids' brain. They got it. They discovered it. This whole hand-eye, too many hours spent doing hand-eye stuff stunts the mind's ability to absorb information. And so they're finding now that kids, and believe me, I love it because there's something basically wrong with a kid spending 6-12 hours in front of those things. These kids, our kids, they'll spend hours in front of these games. And Maria's philosophy is always the same. Well, you know, they work so hard in school. Shouldn't they be allowed to have some fun? No. No, they may not have fun. They're kids. They are here at my beck and call. They can be having fun. Maybe I want to mess with them. I don't know. But we got it. And Kiesling, if you don't email that to me like you said you would, somebody's going to die. And when I told Chris about it this morning, he was like, "What are you talking? You must be making this up." No, man, I ain't making it up. I got it. I got the facts now. This is like the time you told me if I watch too much TV, I get one eye in the middle of my forehead. Yeah, I know. I was kidding about that. This is true. You can prove it? Yes, I can. I'd like to see the hard evidence. I'll bring it home tonight. That if you spend too many hours in front of a video game, your brain shuts down. Wait till I show this to Maria. Because, you know, up to this point, she's been all, oh, leave them alone. Let them go up there and rot their brains. But there was something basically wrong. Now I got the hard evidence from the British Journal of Mysticism and Medicine. Kids that mess around with them video games, they turn into their brains turn to mush. They get off them games. I'll grab that PlayStation 2. I set it up in our room, and then I have a couple of laughs for once in my life. By the way, we haven't got a DVD player. The only DVD we got in our house is PlayStation 2. It doesn't look exactly all that boogie-woogie, that boogie-woogie there in the family room in front of the TV set. Well, let me just pull out the PlayStation 2, Ed, and we can look at the professional one more time. It's Phil Henry's show.